Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
There are times when the sermon needs to be strong. It needs to be forthright. It needs to deal with sin and condemn sin in one's life, and to make sure that a person tries to make some changes with regards to how they live and what they do. There are other times when the sermon needs to be uplifting. The sermon needs to encourage and exhort. There are times when Christians need a little bit of spiritual self-esteem. That is to believe that they are important, that they are precious in God's sight, and that they can live the Christian life. And such is the purpose for this morning's lesson. I'd like to begin by asking the question, are you special? Are you special? I want to begin by way of introduction to use two or three illustrations. The first one I'm going to use is a personal illustration. When I was a little boy, I had rheumatic fever and I had scarlet fever. And I know that's very difficult to imagine, but I was so skinny that they used to beg me to eat. And I know you can't hardly visualize that, but I was. They would say, anything that you want, you can have. And the truth was, I was petted when I was a little boy. I don't mind admitting, I was spoiled. And my sister and I would get in arguments, and she would say, you think you're special. And the truth was, I did. And I believe that most of us, if we were in the same situation, would probably have reacted the same way. Quite often, I will be reading the obituaries and I will notice that a person is listed as a special friend or as a special aunt, a special niece. Someone will be listed as being special, indicating that they are a little bit above the rest, beyond the ordinary. All of us would like to think that we are special to someone. Maybe it's we want to believe that we're special to our wife or to our husband, to our mothers or our fathers, to our children. That we are above the ordinary, that there's something special about us. Well, Peter, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, says, you are a special people. When you read the book of 1 Peter, it emphasizes the fact that you and I are Christians. We are so blessed to be Christians. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings found in Christ Jesus, is a loose translation of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. The fact that you and I are special. And so what I would like to do in our lesson this morning is to look at three things. Number one, we are special because of who we are. You know, sometimes we don't understand how special it is to be a Christian and to stand out in God's sight. Number two, we are special because of what we do. That is, how we live, how we treat other people, the things that we do. And this is both found in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then number three, I want to end with a very short point, and that is you can be special too. You can stand out in God's sight. I have a lot to say, so let's begin our lesson now. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, going through verse 10, Peter will use three illustrations, three figures of speech, if you will, to describe who we are. The first one is that of a baby. Now, if you don't think babies are special, then you look at some of them when a mother brings that baby in for the first time, or sometimes daddy gets to do that. Everybody has to go over and look at that baby. Oh, that baby is so cute. But do you know what makes some babies more special than others? Is who their parents are. I've been listening a little bit to the news recently. One of the sons of Prince Charles is now in their military service in England, and they're talking about sending him to Iraq. And there's been a lot of debate, should we send this child, young man now, to this place of war because he is someone special. He's the child of the prince, the grandson of the queen. Do you realize that we are children of the king? The second illustration he will use is that of living stones in this temple of God. There are buildings and then there are real buildings. The temple of God is so important because it is the place where God inhabits. And you and I are living stones in that temple. And then third of all, he talks about being holy priests offering up spiritual sacrifices. So let's look now, first of all, at this idea of a baby being special. You and I become babies in God's kingdom by a spiritual birth. I want you to notice with me as we begin with John chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Jesus said, answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say unto you that unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You and I are not born just once if we're special. We're born twice. Born again. And that birth takes place when we're born of the water, that is, we're baptized, and we're born of the Spirit, that is, a change of the Spirit within us, which is involving repentance. You and I become members of God's family. Peter also spoke of this in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. He says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever." We become children because we study, we learn, we obey the Word of God. We're born again. In 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." You and I are so privileged to be a part of God's family. And then Galatians 3:26 and following, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." And then he expands it to say it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're bond or free, whether you're male or female. He says, you're all one in Christ Jesus. You're a part of the family. I want you to understand, to begin with, you are special if you're a Christian because you are a child of God. But second of all, emphasizing here that babies must be fed. He's going to talk about that in verses 2 and 3. He says, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if indeed that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, the idea is of a baby that has to grow and to flourish and to mature. Babies are special. They have to have special food. You don't give a baby, you don't go to McDonald's and say, "Here's a hamburger, eat this hamburger." You have to provide milk. But as the child grows and matures, the child is able to ingest and digest solid food. You and I are special, and especially as babies, we're special in God's sight. But then Peter also describes us as living stones in this spiritual temple. As I read through the Bible, I see this figure of speech used many times. I want to draw your attention to a couple of them, and then in this context of verses 5 and 6. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Do you know there are buildings that you can go into that are just ordinary buildings? But if a building houses someone important, then it's special. You know, there's all sorts of houses that are painted white. But there is a white house at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., that is a special house. What makes that house special? Is it because it's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? No, it is the residence of the President of the United States. That's what makes it special. Do you realize that he is saying here, the temple of God is holy? He says, which temple? And he's talking about you. You, the church, are. You are special. Because you are a place where the Spirit of God inhabits. In Ephesians 2:19, therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that cornerstone, that foundation upon which everything else is built. And then going to 1 Peter 2:5-6, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices to Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in on Him will by no means be put to shame. But then the priest. You step back and you look at the priests of the Old Testament. How special were they? God chose the Levites out of all the tribes to say, I want the Levites to be special. I want them to be different. They're not going to receive a land promise. They're going to receive the tithe. And out of the tribe of Levi, I want the sons of Aaron to be the priest. And I want them to wear a specific kind of clothes that designates them as being priests. There was even a special kind of garment that was worn by the high priest so that he could be recognized as being the high priest. Let me carry through a few scriptures here just a second. In Acts 23, verses 4 and 5, Paul was brought in before the Sanhedrin because of an event that occurred back in chapter 21. He had been accused of bringing a Greek into the temple. When Paul comes in and he's about to speak, he's commanded to be smitten. And Paul then responds in a very negative way. And here's what happens in verses 4 and 5. And those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. The priests were so special that you couldn't even speak against them. You couldn't talk back to them. It was not permitted. They were special. When we go to Revelation 1 and verse 5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins by His own or in His own blood, has made us to be kings and priests. We are made kings. We are made priests. Do you understand the elevated position that you enjoy because of who you are? In Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The word reasonable there carries with the idea of spiritual. You and I present a spiritual service to God. Now, second of all, we are special because of what we do. Some people do different things in life, and some people are special because of the way they act, the things that they do. Let me give you a point or two from this. In this context, beginning with verse 11, going to verse 25, he's going to talk about having a higher calling. The fact that we're not ordinary. We're called to live better lives. Second of all, he's going to talk about those who would abstain from fleshly lust. From the things of this world, that we're not going to be a part of that. We're different. Then he's going to talk about those who practice good works, who do things that are right and good, those who respect authority, and those who follow the example of Christ. When you look at these people and the way they live, they're special, they're different. Notice with me to begin with, verse 9, the call of God is discussed. What did God call us to be? Ordinary? Mediocre? Like everybody else? In John chapter 8 and verse 23, Jesus makes it clear that He is not like the world, nor His disciples. John 18:36, He's going to say His kingdom is not like this world. Read with me verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're no longer in darkness. You're in light now. You're a higher call people. You live better. In John 8 and verse 23, He said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." Those of us who are Christians this morning are not of this world. John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." Do you understand how that we're otherworldly people? We're people who are looking for, earnestly desiring heaven. In Ephesians 4:17, Paul would write that, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility or the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ." He's saying, you have learned to live better than that. You've learned to live better than the world. You are here this morning because you have a spiritual interest. There are people out doing other things this morning. I decided this morning I was going to go by the post office and pick up the mail and bring it in because I didn't go yesterday. I couldn't get there because there are people riding bicycles all over town today. I'm glad that our town has things to draw people in, but we need to be drawing them into worship instead of drawing them in to ride bicycles. You see, you are here because you have a higher spiritual interest. Special. Because we don't go along with the lust of the world. There's no denying this world lives for lust. Lust is more than just this immoral things. There's the lust for power. There's the lust for prestige. There's the lust for possessions. And if you want a new word, period, which means physical, sexual kind of lust. Peter explains this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the lust of the flesh of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past time in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries." He said, "In regard, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." Peter is saying the world lives in lust, and it does. Christians, quit doing that. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of the world, and the world passes away in its lust. But he who does the will of God abides forever." But we're also special because we do good things. In verse 12, Peter speaks about honorable conduct and good works. People do look at us, whether you realize it or not. When you go to the hospital and you visit someone, people look at you. When you go to the funeral home and you visit with people in the funeral home, people look at you. When you go to work or you go to school, people look at you. They know you by the character of your life. Notice Rome or 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. People look at you and they learn to peg you, if you will. You build a reputation. You build a character. And people can read that. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7, Paul says, "For none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself." There's no one of us who live on an island with no influence on anyone else. People look at us. They want to see what we're doing. In Titus 2 and verses 7 and 8, "In all things showing yourself as a pattern," or to be a pattern of good works, "in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that no one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing to evil say of you." Live in such a way, do good works so that everybody see you as special, that you stand out because of the good things that you do in life. And then you're special because you respect authority. God designed authority in several aspects of life. He decided the civil government. He decided the home. He decided the church. And each one of them have their own form of authority that God placed within them. And to resist, whether it's the government or the home or the church, the authority that God placed there is to resist God Himself. In Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," or that should be 13, 1 and 2. He said there that one who resists the power of God resists God Himself, because there are no powers but of God. In 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 15, "Therefore submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or as to governors, to those sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And then you're special by what you do because you follow Christ. In the latter context of 1 Peter chapter 2 are those people who are going to be suffering because they're slaves, they're servants. And there's some of them going to be mistreated badly. And how are you going to respond? Are you going to talk back? Are you going to get angry? Or are you going to mistreat your master back, your employer back? No. He talks about those who patiently take it. And Jesus showed a tremendous amount of restraint. You think about the power that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had. He could be on the Sea of Galilee with the waves flowing and the winds boisterous and say, "Peace be still," and the water would become just as smooth as glass. The winds and the waves obey Him. In John 11, Lazarus was in the tomb dead 4 days, and He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. When Jesus was laughed at, spat upon, mocked and belittled, what did He do? Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, He opened not His mouth. I want you to notice 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. "For to this were you called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously." You and I have an example. You want to be special in this world? Stand out like Jesus, because you follow the pattern and the example that He gave. So you are special because, number one, of who you are. You're special, number two, because of what you do. But in this audience, it's obviously aware to most of us that not all of us are Christians. And you can be special too. Because you can be a child of God this morning. You can be that because God invites you to become one of His children. You can be born into the family of God. And once a child of God, you're special in His eyes. Notice Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Paul would say, Titus, do you want to help do the right thing? Go out and find more special people. People to enjoy that. Are you special? Most certainly. Jesus died for you. I want to end with Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Sometimes we may fold our hands and say, I'm not special to anybody. I'm not important. You have a low spiritual self-esteem. And here's what Jesus said, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. You can buy five sparrows for two pennies, two copper coins. It's not much. But there's not a one of those sparrows that fall to this earth, but that God doesn't notice. He notices every one of them. And if it were only for you, Jesus Christ would have gone to that cross and died for you. This morning, if you are not a Christian, please, please, I beg of you to think about your spiritual life and being special to God. Why not come forward because of you believe in Jesus Christ to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized? And if you're one of God's children and you've not been living like a Christian ought to live, you're still special in God's eyes and He wants you to come home.